So sometimes you think you lose points off your man. You know what your man license is?
Yeah. Oh, your man license, right.
Where you, if you don't know something, you lose points. You go, you're not much of a man if you don't know how to, for example.
Change a fuse.
Well, spot on.
Is it? Was this it?
That was it, but that was my second one. I had two in the week. I had change a tyre, which really.
You know how to change a tyre, don't you?
Well, yes.
But you haven't done it for a while.
Well, here's how I done. I thought, well, I'm a member of the – I got a nail going down the coast.
Yeah.
I pulled over, managed to work out that I had a flat, rang the
– Where were you, remote or
– Down the coast surfing.
Yeah, so were you in a town?
Yes. Right. Yeah. So it was okay. I could go and get a coffee and wait for him to come. So it was all right.
Oh.
So it's good. But he, I'm thinking, well, I might as well get, well, you know, I'm not going to hurt my back. I'm paid for this. So I get someone to do it for me.
Yeah, it is hard getting the screw, what are they called? I've done it in the last couple of years.
The wheel nuts.
It's hard to get the wheel nuts off.
Hard to get the wheel nuts off. So he turns up and he goes, have you got the locking nut?
Well, that's normally in the jack set.
So you're already ahead of me.
Yeah.
He said, have you had your tyres changed lately? I went, yeah. He goes, oh, it'll probably be in the ashtray thing or the cup holder or it'd be in the glove box because they would have just chucked it in it. So we looked throughout the car.
Oh.
Couldn't find it.
Was it in the jack set with the jack?
Well, stick with me.
Right.
He goes, I can't do anything. I'm going, wow, this is big. This is really big.
Can't it's big when the RACV guy can't help.
Yeah, that. Yeah. So he goes, can't do anything, but I can organise. So I had to get
a tow.
Trucked. Good part was I got to drive it onto the back of the truck.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Because the car was weak. I go, pull it around. He goes, yeah, bring it up. I'm going, I'm actually going to drive it onto the back of the truck. Yep, bring her up. You'll be right. No worries. Keep it going. And so I rang the tyre place. I said, where did you put the nut? And they go, I don't know. Probably put it in one of the thingos. And anyway, so it goes off. And then they say, this goes off to Audi because I've got an Audi. Okay.
Whatever. Yeah, you got an Audi. Yeah. Well, Audi would have, they're all the same. They're not.
No.
They said, specific to your car.
They said, we're going to have to go through 200.
Oh.
So off it goes. I ring.
Imagine that job. That'd be the apprentice job. Young Josh. Josh, what are you? I'm up to 54.
Which are you with tried pile? Which is the tried pile and which is the non-tried pile? Yeah. Oh, now I can't remember. I'll have to start again. Oh, no. So then I said goodbye to the car, drove off. It was a bit sad. It drove off like an ambulance.
You just left down the coast.
Yeah. It was down the coast. My brother lives down there.
Yeah, so, that's all right. Yeah. Could leave the surfboard. Imagine they left you the surfboard in your little bag. All right, cool.
And then I ring later that day and they go, oh, yeah, we found it.
Oh, no.
And because I was looking up YouTube, I was looking, doing the whole thing, and he goes, oh, it was in its normal spot. And I go, normal spot.
In the jack thing.
Yeah. Because when I try to get the tyre out, I'm going, there isn't a jack as well. Something's up here. There's no jack and there's no nut. I reckon the guys at the car yard have stolen my jack.
Why would they steal a car jack? They're normally shit.
Well, this is what I concluded.
They got better jacks at the car yard than that one.
I'm Columbo. They go, well, there's one question about the jack. It doesn't appear to be there.
Because it's normally underneath the tyre or on top of the tyre.
They showed me that eventually there was a little tiny tag.
Yeah, and you pull it.
And you pull it and it went pring, and there was every tool known to man in there. The jack was there. And there was the nut sitting there going, ha, 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 got you. And I'm going, you caused all this. So anyway, I
put it to you, though. The RACV guy should have known that. You know what I mean? You're not a car expert. He's a car expert.
I didn't want to say, but it did go into my report. Because, you know, here you go. You know, where they go, how was our service? I said he was good. Everything else he did was good.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And he was a nice guy. But I thought he should have
known there's a secret compartment in
there. Yeah. Anyway.
Was the compartment on the side of the boot or?
No, it was the right up the back.
Yeah, right.
Back of the boot, like where the back of the seats.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
Is this interesting? Sure. I don't know.
I'm finding it interesting.
So then they go, but we can't find your tire. We can't replace because I've got pretty low profile, pretty groovy tires. Can't find you one. This is Geelong. So I had to drive home with the spare on, little dinky.
Another dinky thing, I love
that. Dinky one. You got a toy car.
You can't drive long distances in those, though.
And you can't go over 80.
Oh.
So I was
on the Geelong Road.
On Geelong Road.
Get on the road, you idiot.
Come on, you got an Audi. Get your finger out. Come on.
Well, you love it.
So I'm giving them the hazard lights.
Yeah,
as I'm driving down.
Yeah, yeah.
Come around.
Go past.
So then.
What a saga.
So then the next day at home, blackout, power surge, couldn't find the problem.
Oh, the fuse.
The fuse.
Fuse box. You know where the fuse box is, though, yeah?
Well, yeah.
No.
I had to find it. And we had another man there doing something else, and I sort of was hoping that he might be a real man and fix it. And so I rang my brother.
And what did he say?
We did it on FaceTime.
Oh, yeah, because there's safety switches
and stuff. Yeah, he went through it, and I'm poking, and then he'd go in the house, turn everything on and turn everything off, and we isolated it down to the one section, and we all worked it. Oh, I was loving it.
Was it a kettle or a toaster or something? Or the
No, what actually had happened is the actual fuse part, that's what had done it.
Oh.
So it wasn't something blowing up within the house, which is what normally does. It's something gone, and you find that switch, and it just snaps back all the time.
Yes.
So you know what you're doing. You're a real
man. Well, no, because I remember living in shed houses when you have to actually replace the fuse wire.
I do too.
And the porcelain.
You can't pull them out anymore with the new ones, can you? You can't do that,
you can't. I remember when we lived next door to these guys, one guy I went to high school with, they had this massive party, which we weren't invited to. We weren't invited. Anyway, got about 3 a.m., the music was really loud. I just walked in the front door, pulled the fuses out and chucked them in the front yard and went back to bed.
And they didn't know.
Well, all the music went.
What a good trick.
And then had a great sleep. And the next day, Nigel, his name was, he goes, yeah, you won't believe what the old guy next door did. He pulled the fuse out and we found him in the front yard. I'm like,
what an asshole. Oh, God. I walked in my pajamas
and did it.
that's a very cool move.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, stupid in some ways.
Yeah, because if they were alcohol-ridden and would have beaten you up, is that in your underpants?
I became legendary in the shared house for that. And so then when there was a party on, even at the guys going, do your trick, go and pull the fuses out. But sometimes I tried it in another house, but you walk in and everyone just, well, what are you doing in your pyjamas, mate? Who are you? It's like,
So anyway, going from losing man points, even the electrician had problems finding what the problem was. So
it was the fuse.
It worked it out. It was a surge. The power went off and it surged and it snapped in there.
Wow.
It went within that little box.
Yeah. But so, how do you couldn't fix that, could you?
Exactly, which means I'm still a real man.
Yeah, real man.
I'm still a real man. The real guy couldn't change his heart. The professional man didn't know what the problem was with electricity. I stand tall and I walk amongst men.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice. I like your jewelry you're wearing today. Lovely, isn't it? You got makeup on?
Yeah, this, like my nice new white shoes.
You've had your nails done.
Hey, look at my jumper tied around my neck. Doesn't it look lovely?
Quick. Well, here comes the music.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. Now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
I have to say, welcome to the podcast, but if you fail at something then a real man, like a handyman, can't do it, then you're still a real man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's the fallback, isn't it? It's
the fallback. But there was – it's like the time that I was at the airport – and I was doing came back and had a flat tire.
Mm.
And I did open the boot and my jack was gone.
Wow.
Now,
so they are in the business of stealing jacks.
Yeah, there's a whole black market of jacks out there. So I had to call the RACV and it was right near the exit of the car park at the airport. And I'm standing there and people driving past go, because the guy was changing my tyre for me. Oh, Russell Coyne doesn't even know how to change his own tyre. Oh, you really are a dickhead. You know? Oh, and I was sort of going, I haven't got a jack. My jack's been stolen. Worry about it.
Well, last time I changed, I was in the bottom of Etihad Stadium when we went to a football game, came out with the kids and Kieran. I was hoping one of the Geelong or Footscray players would just, one of the legends.
Yeah, big
Bonapelli
muscle.
Or,
Or get the whole team to lift the car up for you.
Nothing, no. People just drove past and tooted the horn. Thanks for that.
And you break out into a sweat. You know that.
I did it, though.
The one trick that I do know that is important is that when the wheel comes off, you slide it under the car.
Oh, yeah, so it doesn't crash the.
Oh, I don't say it offhandedly like that. I thought
the important thing is to loosen the wheel nuts before you put it up on the jack.
Yes.
That's very important.
Oh, because you've got something to purchase again.
Yeah, you can't.
And don't tighten your nuts in a clockwise or anti-clockwise. You've got to do it randomly across the line.
Yes, you know.
I know. I got my scout changing a tyre badge back in the 70s.
Anyway, welcome. And it's post-Christmas, I suppose. So I hope everyone had a good Christmas. And this is a Tuesday after Christmas.
Yeah,
so
I spent an hour in the line at the seafood shop today.
Again. Did you meet your mate? Remember you meet a guy?
I met a lovely man the other year, whatever year it was when we could do things. And I saw him out the front of his house the other day and I said, do you remember me? We met in the line. We're lifelong. We spent time together in the war. And then today I met two lovely men who – I don't mean
– He's a way to meet men. So what did you buy? Like what, your prawns?
Yeah, frozen prawns.
Is that it?
No, let me finish. Shucked. Go and get shucked oysters.
Ooh.
And a whole, wait for it, whole ocean trout.
Ooh.
To be cooked by Alex on the barbecue, I think.
He's a chef, so.
That's the thing, though. That's when that fish is just fish. But then you see that fish lying there, that dead fish. That beautiful.
With the eyes looking at you.
Lies, and they're going, I hope you enjoy yourself on your Christmas day. Because I was swimming around with my family. And then I got snapped out of the ocean. And here I am just filling up your stomach. I hope you enjoy yourself. Anyway, he's in the fridge now, ready to go.
I'm getting the turkey delivered today.
I don't like restaurants that have live fish out in the fish tank out the front.
I know. I love that one.
I'll have Tony over there and Keithy. And they're looking at you and they're going, please don't eat me.
Yeah, the lobsters.
The lobsters. Yeah. Please don't eat me. Because, maybe one day I'll get out, I do eat meat and I do that, But it does make me feel a bit sad.
All right, well, let's get the topics. Let's pick everyone
anyway,
up.
Anyway, Merry Christmas.
Post-Christmas. Yes. Hey, what are the topics?
Chainsaws and childbirth.
Could there not be two things further apart?
Wow. Let's do childbirth first. Should we do childbirth?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been at three births of children.
In the room?
Well, we have to these
what
days.
What end did you stand at? Can I ask that?
The secret garden end.
You were at the special end.
Well, no, yes and no. Kieran really wanted the first one, which was Jasper. He's 18 now. I got him a job at the bottle shop, as we've discussed.
Yeah, good story.
He's at the bottle shop, still at the bottle shop. Hasn't been sacked yet, which is good. So what was happening there was Kieran's mum turned up, which Kieran thought would be good, but then anyway, she got to get Betty out of the room. Okay, I'll get Betty. I said, Betty, go and talk to the obstetrician. So the obstetrician, she bloody cornered him and told him about her B&B in Daylesford and suggested that he come up there for a holiday. And so the baby started to crown, which means the head starts to come out, I think.
Yeah.
And so the midwife was fantastic. And then the obstetrician comes back in the room. But my job, I think, was mainly just to the problem is when you see a woman give birth, men are kind of useless, you know what I mean? Yeah. There's not much you can do apart from support. Yeah. And I was visually telling, because she's a visual person, I was saying telling her what was happening.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because she said it was so painful. I said, the head's coming out, now the shot. And so that really helped her apparently. But
is it really that painful though, really?
I think it might be. I don't know. And then the second one was Kitty.
Is it as hard as changing a tyre at the airport?
Yeah.
I don't know whether it is.
You get the man turn up.
The man turns up.
Oh, the obstetricians, they think they're heroes. It's hilarious. Our obstetrician, the first one was a guy called Guy Skinner, because Lionel Steinberg, who's a South African guy, and he would turn up and he would say, my partner would go, what's going on? He goes, we're having a baby. That's what's going on. He's very matter of fact. Have I told the story about him? So I said to him one time, "How's it going, Lionel?" "Not very good. My son was disrespectful to his mother and my wife today at breakfast." I said, "What happened?" And he's got, I think one of his kids is a doctor now. He said, "My son told my wife to get effed or get," or something like that. And I said, "What did you do, Lionel?" He goes, "I went and took the tire off his car and the spare and put him in my car and drove off." So this is our obstetrician, Lionel. And, I like Lionel. And then, Kitty, then Barney was the third one. And I fell asleep during that one. And the midwife kept kicking me to wake me up.
Fell asleep.
Thought, I've seen this is a repeat. I've seen this
before. You saw the original. You don't want to see the original two.
But the only thing I took away from childbirth was that men are useless during childbirth.
Yeah, but they're supportive. They
put on the Enya CD or whatever they want.
You can like massage their hand or something.
But there is an argument for, in some cultures, men aren't in the room.
Yeah. Well, back in our parents' day, they weren't.
Oh. My dad was in the Air Force.
Yeah.
When my two older brothers were born, he said, "What happened?" The sergeant would call him into the room and go, "Kevin, you've had a son."
Yeah. Incredible, man.
Dismissed. Was your dad wouldn't have been there for any of the births.
No. Look, I don't think so. But I was there for Romy's, but I wasn't in the room.
No.
I was in the lead up, spent all day there. And then I saw the obstetrician and the pediatricians.
Yeah, they often turn up.
Yeah, and then because I was set to go because I hope that she won't mind saying that she was a C-section.
They
went and put their gear on. They go from civvies
to the scrubs.
And I said to the pediatrician, I said, "You guys, you look good." And he goes to me, "Yeah, this is my first one." I reckon I'm going to be okay. I've read the brochure. I saw it on – he said – what did he say? He goes, "I've seen some stuff on YouTube, and I reckon I can do it." No, of course he was joking, but I went from that point, I like you. You're fun. And then I went outside for a while, and then it was all done.
The baby was born.
So that's real. Okay, I'm going to test you out. I'm going to look up.
I didn't. My wife had – she wanted a natural birth. She didn't want any drugs. I mean, I had everything. I even had an epidural.
Yeah, two for you, one for me.
All that gas. I wanted to try some of that gas. I didn't get to have any of it.
Okay, I'm going to test you out. I'm going to look up childbirth terminology. Terminologies.
Yep.
And see how well
episiotomy.
Yeah, okay. What's that? Is that where you cut? Where you slip? That's where you split from the number one hole to number two hole?
Yeah,
and you are in some ways you're better to split than be cut because remember this because it's harder to stitch if you split, it's a lot harder to stitch. But if you cut, it's a clean line, so you're better to cut the.
Yeah.
If you're driving the car, are your sphincters tightening at the moment?
I think so, and women that have had it done, especially.
I shouldn't, man. Well, okay. What is dilation?
Oh, that's like when they say the thing's dilated. So they go, "You're only 5 centimetres dilated."
Yeah, so that's
the vagina opening up.
Yeah, yeah, right then.
I do stand-up about that. I do a joke about that. Hilarious. Mm-hmm. No, I do a routine about if men gave birth, it'd be a lot different, Anyway, we won't go into it now, but I say the doctor wanders in and goes, "You're only 5 centimetres dilated." I go, "Bullshit." Bullshit.
That's not 5 centimetres.
No way, mate.
Yeah.
Turn the shower on. This baby's coming out.
Forceps.
Oh, yeah. The forceps are used. They used to pull the baby out. Because remember when kids were born in our era, they were forceps birth? And
funny shaped head.
Yeah, funny shaped head.
But nowadays they go to a C-section, don't they?
Still use forceps occasionally. I think, it's been a while since my kids were born, but there was definitely talk of forceps around the hospital, but I don't know.
Second trimester.
Yeah, pregnancy's 9 months. That's like the second, the second bit, like quarters in football. There's four of them.
Is there four quarters?
I think there's four trimesters.
Yeah, God. Four trimesters. Why is there a try in there? If it's
hang on, is there three?
Mm. It's got try. Okay, surely it would be quarters.
No, there's three.
It must be three. I reckon.
Oh,
shit. Is it three lots of 14 weeks?
Yes.
Would that be right?
Yes. So that's second trimester's in the middle.
Umbilical.
Yeah, umbilical cord.
Yeah, we all know that one. Okay.
I cut the cord on the first one, and then I noticed that the doctor cut the cord further down the line anyway. I'm like, well, you're cutting it anyway. So it's a bit of a...
It's a bit of like it's like an opening of a new park.
Yeah, they're not. You're not really opening.
You're cutting the ribbons.
Yeah, you're not really opening the park.
No, you're not.
No.
Yeah.
It's bullshit.
Induced.
Induced is when they induced to get the baby
through
out.
Chemical. Through yeah, in, yeah,
yeah. I think so. Yeah. But you can use natural. You can. You know, Kieran had acupuncture to induce, which helped. A couple of needles.
Oh, really? Uh-huh. What, before or during?
Yeah, before.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, there's one other word. I don't know what it means. Conception.
Mate, that's how we got into the trouble in the first place, mate. 9 months ago, eh?
Yeah. One of the, you got your midwife, you got your obstetrician, you got your pediatrician.
Yeah. So obstetrician's birth, pediatrician's babies and kids.
Yep.
Midwives are the heroes.
They're doing heavy lifting, aren't they?
Mainly women.
Yeah.
And older women. And tough.
Just call it straight.
Tough. You can spot a midwife. They often look kind of similar. Grey bob. Like no nonsense, you know. No nonsense. They look like a good hugger too.
Oh, yeah.
And they get things done, midwives. They're the best.
So, they've got the answers. And you feel in safe hands.
Yeah, absolutely.
Midwifery, that's what they
were. Midwifery. Go and study midwifery.
Yes.
Because, see, women get on the woman's wavelength.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They really get on that wavelength. Whereas men, we're not on the same wavelength. We're not. It's a different frequency, I believe.
Is that why?
When it comes to birth.
Oh, when it comes to birth.
Yeah. And a lot of other things, but, you know, I think so.
I don't remember my birth. I was a baby at the time.
Oh, as Woody Allen said, I was tired after the move. I was born young. In fact, I was a baby. Well, I think we've covered childbirth. Why don't we do chainsaws?
Yeah, natural evolution to chainsaws.
I don't. Have I ever used chainsaws? I've, dangerous.
Oh, me. Yeah, no. I've so used dangerous. The closest I've used, this is very jump around your shoulders, is a hedge clipper.
Oh, that's like a mini chainsaw, though.
But it is. It's got blades, but you just look at a chainsaw as it's sitting on the ground. Ugh. If it could talk, you'd go, "Don't mess with me.
Oh.
I'll chop your arm off."
I know, you know, friend of the show, Des Dowling, who lives in the country.
Yeah,
he's got a chainsaw, and then the horrific stories of chainsaw accidents come out.
And dropping me on your leg and chopping your
One guy.
Major artery, dead.
Yeah, one guy went out the backyard to chop up wood. Wife hadn't seen him, went looking for him. He was just dead on the ground. Yeah, nicked an artery.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why they wear chaps.
Yes.
When they chainsaw.
Yeah.
When they chainsaw. But I just look, it's one of those things that I would, these days.
It's just not worth doing.
Not worth using.
Get a man.
If I was a younger man, I would be foolish enough to try and use one, I reckon.
And what would the problem would be is if you used it once and you were good at it and you did a big pile of wood or something, you go, oh, I'm great at this.
Yeah.
I have guys come to do my trees and they go up the trees with a chainsaw hanging off their belt. Albeit, it's still running, but the chain isn't turning. You wouldn't want to bump the thing that turns the chain back on and, you know.
I did a gig the other day in Cheltenham, not far from the beautiful place you live, but this was like in an industrial set in a bar. This was a Christmas party. And all these guys were tree loppers. That's what they were.
You went to the tree lopper. Oh, that's it. What a coincidence.
What?
That we're talking about chainsaws and you did tree loppers.
I did tree loppers. And it's so funny because there's guys our age like and fat guys. And I'm like, you're not getting up the tree, are you, mate? Nah, used to. And so they have ground people and they have tree people now.
Bit to the left, bit further over.
So all the young blokes go up the trees and the older blokes stay on the ground.
I had one bloke, he would go up there and he was smoking at the same time.
Love it.
Having a smoke between cuts, you know.
But the guy said, you've got to be so careful. Oh, I learned something too because we're standing out on the decking and he goes, we look after all the power company's trees too.
Right.
And so we're called out. And I said, well, tell me one thing. Those power lines, so you know you get like four power lines in a row.
Uh-oh.
I said, are they all live? He goes, they're all live. Right. He said, they're all live. And I said, so why do birds sit on them? They don't get
not
frozen.
Grounded.
No. If the bird put one leg on one and one leg on the other.
That's right. That's what possums do.
Yeah. Is that why they
complete the circuit? Yeah. Bang, bang, whole suburb gone. Bang.
Yeah. Crack the possum. So he said, you could hang off one, you'd be fine, but you touch another. No good.
That's right.
In fact, I don't even know if you. And if the electricity tries to find the ground.
That's right. So it tries to go through you.
But he said when it goes through you, it cooks everything.
Yeah. Well, like when they were there fixing it up with the possum. Because we saw a flash of light and everything blacked out. And I went round there. Of course I did. Stood in the street with my arms crossed. Standing in the street with my arms crossed, watching. No, I was speaking to the guy. He goes, it was a possum.
Possum.
And I asked, as a joke, I went, did it kill it? And he went, you're kidding, aren't you, mate? 30,000 fucking volts going through that thing. What do you reckon? But I was joking, mate.
You know chainsaw accidents. You know who had one? Your mate, Michael Veach, had one.
Because he broke his Michael
leg.
Veach.
He broke his leg. I thought, there's some story about it. Yeah, the great, because we've talked about him before, how you and him used to do good work together.
I always wanted to work with Michael Veach. I first saw him in the Late Show, with
the D-Gen.
And I got to say, I reckon he's one of the greatest sketch performers Australia's ever produced. He's brilliant.
I was watching Calvin Cunnington. I was showing the kids Calvin Cunnington.
Hilarious.
Get off! When are you going to get off?
Yeah, I did a couple of sketches with him, and so what are you? Should we?
It'd be interesting to talk. I want to talk to someone. I know Des hasn't had any actual accidents, but I remember Veach because I read an article. I've seen him we had lunch a couple of times. A few of the old writers from Full Frontal and Fast Forward get together.
He came
along to one of them maybe 4 years ago. And so I see him every couple of years because he moved to the bush or somewhere. I think he's up Warburton Way or something like that, Veach. And
he was one of the first of our clan to have kids. He had twins.
Very young. Those kids are like 30 now.
Yep.
Because he's currently doing a one-man play. I don't know if it's still going, but my friend went to see it, and it's his book as a play.
He's written so many great
books. Read some of his books.
He's a great writer.
My dad loved his books. Flack. Dad read that one.
Mm.
And I read the one about Barney, the Australian resistance fighter. Should we ring him up? Ask him.
Have you got his number?
Okay, hang on. I'll just go under former Fast Forward Full Frontal stars. Yeah, let's see. We've got Weishart, Veach. I don't have Weishart's number. Magda, don't have her number. Mark Downey, don't have her number.
I've got all those ones.
You've got all those ones.
Yeah, so together we can take on the world of sketch comedy.
I'm more Full Frontal, which was a different...
You're NFF, yeah.
NFF was a different time.
Oh, Fast Forward Full Frontal, both the same.
Yeah, but... They were different casts, weren't they? There was a bit of a crossover. Oh, here he is, Veach. He's just under his surname, Veach.
But hang on. This is going to be a bit weird.
All right. Well,
this is going to be a bit weird.
When was the last time you spoke to him?
Oh, I can't remember.
5 years ago?
No, we get on well, but I just haven't seen him for a long time.
No.
But is it going to be a bit weird? Hi, how are you going? Tell us about when you nearly died. Is it going to be a bit weird for him?
Oh, no, it could be. Well, it could be triggering.
Or it could be cathartic. It
could be good.
So how are we going to do this?
We'll ring him and we'll just talk to him. Don't worry about it.
You're a good therapist. You can talk him down.
Okay, hang on. Yeah. It's ringing. Should do it, Calvin Cunnington.
Uh-oh.
Hello, it's Michael.
It'd be Christmas shopping, I reckon.
Reckon?
Yeah.
Oh, you never know. Veach could be doing anything.
Hello?
Is that Michael Veach?
It is on occasion, yes. Hello.
This is Dave O'Neill and Glenn Robbins.
And a name you may remember from the past, Glenn Robbins. And can I just say, you are on our podcast. We have to tell you, you're on our podcast and we have randomly called you and you're going to be shocked when you find out what we've rung you for. It's not to talk this about the good old days or anything like that, no.
This is an ambush.
So yeah, it's an ambush. Absolutely. Right. So we apologise.
We don't want to talk about your
stellar career.
Award-winning books.
Yeah. Oh my God. Your book's incredible. Dave doesn't think it counts that if you read a book. I'm a big audio book guy. And I was listening to your audio book the other day. And not only has he written the book, but he does the voice as well.
Wow.
So you're getting a double banger.
What are you listening to, Glenn?
Flack.
Oh, okay. That's the first one. I'm currently working on my 11th.
Wow. And you've just done a play, because a friend of the show, Mark O'Toole, went and saw it, the one about your great-great-grandfather was a doctor on the ship that came out.
Oh. Yeah. One of they called them the plague ships. It's just complete by arse luck that I happen to have written a play about a pandemic during a pandemic,
Which
actually was cancelled a couple of times due to said pandemic. But third time, luckily, we managed to get it on and had a terrific season in Melbourne, and we're going to be touring Australia next year.
That's fantastic.
If things go right. So yeah, it was one of the emigrant ships that came into Melbourne in the 1850s, riddled with typhus, and my great grandfather was the ship's doctor, so he became a kind of a hero. So I wrote a book about it called Hell Ship. They called it the Hell Ship, and then did a play from his point of view. So there.
So you wrote the play as well.
Good on
you.
No, he wrote the play. He performs in it, and your son does the music. Is that right? Your son?
That's right. You have done your research. Yeah, yeah. My son Tom.
One of the twins. One of the twins.
Yeah, yeah, Tom. Yeah.
How old are they now?
They're both about to turn 31.
Whoa! Because you were one of the first to have kids in our era. Yeah. Oh my God, that's incredible.
Yes, well, that's what happens if you avoid the notion of contraception. So. But hey, water under the bridge. Now, my daughter's 34, so that really makes me feel old.
Man, you're a pioneer.
Well, the thing is, I'm glad it happened because you know you're kind of relatively young when your kids are growing up.
Yes.
And it's so friggin' exhausting. Yes, children, it's exhausting.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I mean, my youngest is 13, but I see guys my age, I'm 56, at school pick up with a five-year-old. You're like, what?
Well, my stepdaughter's...
I know. Well, blokes of our era that get on the merry-go-round.
Yes, second time around.
Have you had grandkids? You have?
No, but I think very close.
Yeah, my stepdaughter just had one 2 years ago, and I'm loving it, but I'll tell you what, you know, it's hard. You know, I did my first nappy the other day, which we talked about.
It was Glenn's nappy.
Yeah, my own nappy, because we're all heading down that road.
Yeah, and I love your book, the one about Barney, the resistance guy, the Australian.
Oh, my God, yes.
That was great, one. Yeah.
So, you really have done it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But we don't want to talk to you about that.
No, I'm a bit worried about this because we want to take down the tragedy road. Because
I remember when you broke your leg, and I remember reading the article, and Mark also O'Toole told me that you broke your leg on your property in the country and it involved a chainsaw. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, yes, it involved a chain. It did involve a chainsaw. It wasn't the chainsaw that directly made the impact. Well, do you want me to tell you the story?
Yeah. Because we're talking about chainsaws on our podcast. That's all. Yeah.
Okay. Well, hang on. What?
Well, we do two topics. We do chainsaws and childbirth, and we've got to work out how they're connected. So you.
So we've read your books, but you haven't listened to our podcast. But that's okay.
This is like a kind of a Stephen King.
It is. Well,
chainsaws and childbirth.
Yep. Tune in.
Well, you've got experience in both. So
indeed. Indeed. I wish I had a bit more experience with chainsaws as I did with childbirth. By the time I used the chainsaw, or I wouldn't have broke my ankle. But what happened? Yes, at my property in the Yarra Valley, when was it? Goodness me. Nearly 10 years ago. In fact, this next year will be the 10th anniversary, but in the middle of winter, June 2013, June the 10th, I think from memory, I was cutting down. We had a kind of a thick grove of bush that was blocking the north facing, sort of blocking out the light. So in the low winter sun, the house hardly got any light, and it was just cutting through the tops of the crowns of these big, they're called messmate, Eucalyptus obliqua, which is a tall, fast-growing eucalypt with a rather thick crown. But they're long and tall, but rather thin. So I said, look, I can take a few out. And so wife said, oh, yeah, all right, okay. Well, you sure you know what you're doing? And of course I went, of course I do.
Tragic
so,
words.
By about 4 o'clock, I'd taken down about, I mean, there were a couple of hundred trees there, and I'd taken down the tallest, about 30, I think I'd taken down. Ooh. It all went well. I'd been roughly showed how to drop a tree. You cut on one side and then stand back. And that, well, you cut on one side, you make two incisions, and then we'll look at the way, which way the wind's going. And then, this is all in theory. Of course, because I'm an idiot, I didn't really know what I was doing.
Right.
So what happened early in the day was a bunch of, a couple got caught up, which happens when you cut them, the crowns are tangled.
Yeah.
So they're actually still holding, but nothing's actually supporting them down below.
Oh.
And usually, so there was about two that were caught up like that. And I went, oh, I don't like the look at this. I'll get back to it at the end of the day. So I went happily, merrily on my way, chopping and felling and chopping and felling. And at the end of the day, I still can't believe I was so stupid to go, oh, it's getting dark, because it was about 4:30. Yeah. I better go back to those trees because they might come down in the middle of the night, which of course, that would be great because there's nobody there. But of course, because being a stupid male, I said, I've got to fix it up. If I was a clever woman, I would have said, I'm just going to leave that till A, they either fall over their own cord or else someone who knows what they're doing comes along. So I went out and looked at it again and saw an old dead blackwood in the middle of it. Oh, okay. They're leaning on that. If I cut that, they'll both fall over. So I measured it up and make the first cut and then the second cut and step back quickly. And yes. And as I thought, after a few seconds, they slowly started to topple over. But what happened was there was a third tree that I'd totally forgotten about that was cut that was just behind me. And the falling crowns pushed that one over. So, and then it all just got weird. All I remember was just seeing like an inch or so from my face, a passing tree trunk. And then all I remember is being on the ground with a chainsaw next to me. I'd thrown the chainsaw somehow.
That's
good.
But
I was under a tree that had fallen across my left thigh for some reason. And I was on the ground. I looked down and said, oh, look. Bugger, my boots come off.
Oh.
And then I realized, oh.
What?
Actually, no, my foot is in my boot and my boots come off.
What?
What?
So, so it was all like, I can't remember the Richmond football player playing Melbourne, I think, about 10 years ago, had the most horrible leg break, which made people vomit actually around him. And it was one of those things where, oh, my body is seriously broken here. And it's actually far less gory when it happens to yourself. It's weird. Like, if I'd seen that, I would have been sick.
Yeah.
Because my foot was literally at an acute, my foot was at an acute angle to my leg. So if you can understand it.
You couldn't move. So did someone find you, did they? Or?
Well, then I just went, oh, shit, I'm in trouble. I yelled. I actually, for the first time in my life, you feel kind of silly because I actually got a call for help. So I went,
help.
Jenny at the time just happened to be, she was vacuuming. Can you believe it? She was vacuuming in the house with a vacuumer, with a vacuum cleaner. Just at that moment, her mum had rang, so she turned it off.
Wow. The mother-in-law. Saved by the mother-in-law. Saved by the mother-in-law.
Saved by the mother-in-law, Mary, who's a great mother-in-law too, by the way. So she sort of heard and just said, I got to go, and came out and she saw me there and picked up my phone and said, I just rang OOO. And this, she actually had the wherewithal to pick up the chainsaw and cut the branch and cut the trunk off because it was about a ton of wood that fell on me. It was about a 20, 30 meter thin tree, but it all came down on, strange enough, my left. Then it gets kind of funny. Have we got time?
Yeah. It's a podcast. It's a podcast.
Okay, sure. Then it gets kind of funny because the Ambos, who are just the most wonderful people in the world, and at Yarra Junction, we happened to have an ambulance depot hub here, whatever you call it. So they came around really quickly. But because I was about 50, 60 meters into the bush, they said, we've actually got to get the four-wheel drive ambulance up here because I might get stuck on this because it's really muddy.
Bogged.
So I had to wait until the four-wheel drive ambulance came up from the hospital near Ringwood. I can't remember.
The green whistle. You had the green whistle. Tell me you did. Did you have the green whistle? Yeah.
The thing you suck on with the morphine in it.
Did you get that?
Oh, no. Let me tell you that movie. So I'm lying on the ground waiting for the ambulance to go. It's June. It's winter. It's getting dark. I'm getting really cold. And I felt like one of those soldiers in World War II who's mortally wounded. I'm so cold, Sarge. I'm just so cold, which is what happens when you start to
get warm,
basically. And I was actually feeling cold because the shock apparently makes you cold. Although I actually felt quite calm. I even had the wherewithal to text someone while I was on the ground saying, I can't make dinner tonight. I've just broken my ankle off. The Ambo girl who was new, like a new, sorry, paramedic, I should, should say, who was really nice, was sort of come to, okay, so let's talk about your pain. Presuming zero is no pain and 10 is the most possible pain you can imagine, how are you feeling right now? I said, oh, about a 7? Okay, that's pretty high. That's pretty high. So I'm going to give you some morphine. Okay. And then because I couldn't quite see, she had the kind of case next to her, and there was this sort of fiddling around, sort of clutter, clutter. I couldn't quite get my neck around to see because I was lying on the side, and I was sort of deep in shock. But I remember her going, and the other senior Ambo who was sort of working out the lay of the land, she goes, Ken, when I'm giving morphine, do I open the valve, then insert the catheter, or do I insert the catheter first? I said, what you do, insert the catheter, break valve A, reinsert, then open it, and then say, okay. And she said, okay, I'm going to give you 5 mils of morphine now. I said, yeah, good, okay, because the pain, I'm maybe about 7.5 with that pain now.
Yeah.
And she gave it to me. I couldn't feel a thing in terms of reduction of pain. And then I heard Ken, all I could hear was footsteps coming over. And I was sort of going, okay, what have we got? Oh, shit, look at that. and he says to the girl, yeah, have you given him morphine? She said, yeah, I gave him 5 mils. 5? Look at his foot. Give him 20.
But I love Ken.
So then Ken came along and gave me a kind of a bit of a mother load dose. And I can't remember much after that except bizarre things like the dog jumping into the ambulance because it was all very exciting. Going, get that fucking dog out of the ambulance! And what else do I remember? I woke up a little bit going, I remember overhearing conversation. Okay, where do we take him? Oh, Maroondah, that's right. I said, well, Maroondah's closer. And they went, nah, better take him for the Alfred because that's where the experts are.
Yeah. And so do you still use chainsaws today after this incident, I suppose?
Yeah. But not nearly as much, and I haven't taken down a tree since. Well, I've taken down saplings and things, but nothing big. And it's funny, back at that property, that same property just a couple of months ago, I was watching a professional arborist and actually watching them do it properly and thinking, God, I really was a cowboy, wasn't I? Because he was like, makes one cut, watches the wind, watches the angle, sort of works the terrain and goes.
Yeah, they're careful. Yeah.
Really careful because once it starts to fall, there's nothing you can do about it. And if it's falling the wrong way, you're stuffed.
Well, there's a tale of caution. You're still alive.
Absolute tale of caution. I'm still alive and I've been incredibly fortunate. And my surgeon, who's a fabulous bloke, he's really he's a fabulous guy, but I kind of hate him. He's incredibly handsome. Mm. He's really sophisticated. Mm. He's a nice bloke. Mm. He's a brilliant surgeon. So I just can't. I can't get a glove on him to dislike him. And he's a really good surgeon. And he actually told me, and he's a Kiwi too. Can see make things even worse. And he actually told me, comes home, don't ever take a ticket in tats because
you've had your luck
because you've expended your luck because you really should have got in. I mean, I don't get too gory here, boys, but there was sort of bone in dirt and all that kind of stuff. Was I know, awful. Oh, but as I said, far worse when when it's someone else than you. I mean, if you were telling me that story, I'd kind of feel like that too. But it's a strange thing. I can't explain it. But
interesting.
As it happens, I didn't even get infected. I didn't even get anything too bad happen to me. So
story. What a
I
story.
I can't run anymore. I can't play my. The only sport I used to like was squash, but I was probably getting to the age where middle aged men shouldn't play squash because they end up dead on the squash court.
Heart attacks.
So I can still walk and do stuff like that. I can't run really.
We're going Irish dancing on Thursday. Do you want to come?
Well, thanks for talking to us, Michael. That's unbelievable.
No worries, boys.
And thanks, Michael.
We want to quickly mention, I think we're going to play one of your sketches in with Glenn, the Soggy Pockets or the Whiz Bang Theatre Company.
Well, we did the Whiz Bang Theatre Company. I'm Michael. I'm Glenn. Together we make the Whiz Bang Theatre Company. And also, to you, remember them well, the Soggy Pockets. The two guys. Pockets. I love you, mate. No, I love you, mate. I love you, mate.
The good old days. How many times do we get people coming up to us saying, you couldn't do that these days, could you?
Yeah.
You couldn't do it these days, could you? And they're probably right. But I often say, would you want to?
I don't know. I watched some the other night. Still funny. I watched Calvin Cunnington the other night. Yeah. Oh, my God. Mm. So funny.
Look, it's probably funny in a bit, but the way things are now, like the pace of everything is so much faster.
Yeah, true.
It's still
funny.
Yeah, still good.
We're going to play some. Hey, thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Michael.
And good luck with the play.
All the best for the family and the Christmas and everything. And good to see you. And hopefully our paths will cross again. I don't know, but sometime soon.
Sometime soon.
Mm. I hope so. Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks, Michael.
Wow. There we go. Incredible.
God, painted a picture.
Well, let's hear some Soggy Pockets or Whiz Bang.
So Soggy Pockets, they were the two guys at the bar who were
pissed off
drunk,
as workers.
Friday night. Yeah. But they were very sort of, I love you, mate, and I love you. And funny. They would get quite
amorous,
intimate.
Yeah. Let's hear that. Let's hear that.
Hear a bit of that.
Well, you know what they say, mate.
What?
The older you get, the more you become like your parents.
I suppose I'm a bit like my father.
Actually, I reckon you're a lot like your mother.
What do you mean?
Oh, the way you laugh, the way you smile, the way you dance around the lounge room in ladies' clothes.
That's for a football fancy dress.
I am aware of that. But it showed me you have a soft, sensitive side.
Really?
In fact, if you were a girl, and I'm not for a moment saying that you are, but if you were, I would find you very attractive.
Oh, thank you, sir.
I would imagine you would have a soft feminine name.
Yes, something like Juliet.
A beautiful name to go with your beautiful hair.
And my beautiful evening gown, worn in chiffon. Running softly over my curvaceous, sensuous body, over my beautiful, soft French underwear, and on a beautiful bearskin rug in front of an open fire, you would take me and make love to me all night long.
Actually, you,
more
like your father.
Yeah.
Oh, hilarious.
Yeah.
I love you, mate. Because I used to go for Friday night drinks when I worked in an office, and we used to love those characters.
Yeah.
All right, so what are you going to say? What are you going to say?
I'm going to say, I reckon I'm pretty close with this. Because what I'm thinking, what do you cut with childbirth? And you cut, well, you do the thing we were talking about before, the cut between the bit and the bit. But I'm going to say they cut the cord with, and I don't know why, with a miniature chainsaw.
Oh, my God. I'm going to say, I think, were chainsaws invented for childbirth? I don't know why. I reckon I may have read that somewhere.
Invented for childbirth?
Yeah, I think so.
You know what this needs, this natural act, this beautiful natural act? A chainsaw. Here we go.
All right, Sam, what is the answer?
Two doctors invented the chainsaw in 1780 to make the removal of pelvic bone easier and less time-consuming during childbirth. John Aitken and James Jeffrey developed a prototype of the chainsaw, familiar today in the timber industry, for symphysiotomy and the excision of diseased bone. The design of the chainsaw was based on a watch chain with teeth that moved through the use of a hand crank.
There we
go. I wasn't that far off.
I think I was right.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
But you didn't. You weren't specific.
No, I didn't know what it was used for, but I didn't know it was used for cutting bones.
So what did you say? Oh, they invented a chainsaw for childbirth. That's all I'm going to say. You know, what about, you know, we didn't talk about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, that movie. That's a horrible movie.
Horrible movie.
When that big fat guy comes out with the chainsaw.
And he looks like he's got, like, has he got leather on? He's got a leathery face or something.
Yeah, weird mask. And they sit around. They all eat raw meat and offal, the family.
You know, God, this is a fun shoot to be on.
Based on a true story, apparently.
True story.
It's true, sort of.
Because I'm a Ryobi guy.
Oh, you got a Ryobi? Yeah.
I got the one battery and about 20 items. Because the one battery fits all of them.
Oh.
I got your hairdryer, your blower.
You got the drill?
No, I've got the drill. We've got a drill.
You got the blower?
Got the blower. I've got the vacuum cleaner blower.
Wow.
I've got the edger.
Wow.
I've got the whippersnipper. Oh. Wow. You know, and they, you know, sound so, you know, but. Noise pollution, much better.
We've heard how much of a real man you are today on this podcast. Have you got a hairdryer?
Ryobi hairdryer. Keith, get on it. That is a brilliant idea.
Ken from the speech of story.